If you came in and you received your message notes, you want to get those out. We're going to have a great time today. We're going to go ahead and talk about the vision of the church. We're going to just share a little bit about that. And, you know, as I'm getting into this, I also want to tie it into the vision that you have for your life. You need to have a vision for your life. And we'll talk about that and how you can receive that and how you can walk in it. Let me tell you a little bit, lay some groundwork for just a second on how this message came about and these things we're going to talk about. Over the last few months, the Lord has been dealing with me. How many of you know He deals with the pastor too? Okay. And so what happens is, the way this works is, He deals with me, and then a lot of times what He's dealing with me on, I'm able to bring to you and help you out. But He gives me the opportunity to kind of go through this stuff a little bit ahead of you guys. But the Lord began to deal with me about the fact and just the situation where I was limiting God. Turn to somebody close by and ask them, are you limiting God today? And I just want to encourage you, as we're talking about vision for your life and we're talking about vision for the church, you need to understand that we got to take the limits off of God. And so many of you might remember a couple of months ago when our friend Ken Brown and his wife Patsy were here from Caris Bible College. They came and visited with us on a Sunday. And so we had a great time with them. And I was just having a conversation with Ken, and he began to talk to me. For those of you who don't know about Caris Bible College, it's an outreach of Andrew Womack Ministries out of Colorado. And a great ministry. Love Andrew and his ministry, and have always had a big respect for him, but never had the privilege of being very closely associated with that ministry. And so Ken invited me to a breakfast with about six other pastors and Andrew while he was in town conducting some services. And so in my conversation with Ken, I began to share with him some of the things that the Lord was dealing with me on. And he said, it's funny that you talk about that, because about 10 years ago, actually a little bit longer than that, the Lord began to deal with Andrew about the same thing. And so I said, awesome. I said, do you think he'll share some of that while we're at breakfast and kind of help me out a little bit? And he said, sure, just ask him when we're there. So I did. And he began to tell about how God had dealt with him. You know, Andrew's been ministering the word and had a strong ministry for several decades, probably about 30 years or more. And but it just seems like, how many of you, first of all, are familiar with his ministry? Okay. Well, it seems like over the last 10 years or so, his ministry has just exploded. And he was sharing some facts with me and some ways that God has just exponentially grown their ministry over the last few years. And he said what happened was, he said the Lord brought a scripture to him, and I want to share that scripture with you. And this is it, out of Psalm 78, verse 41. The scripture says this, yes, again, in talking about the children of Israel, and they tempted God, look at this, and limited the Holy One of Israel. And what Andrew shared with us and shared with me was the fact that God began to deal with him, that he was limiting God. And so that rang true with my heart. And I realized that there were some areas that I was limiting God. And what I mean by that is, God wants to do so much more than we allow him to do in our lives. You know, the thing that we need to realize is that God is a gentleman, and he will not overpower you and override your will in order to accomplish his will in your life. He'll go as far as you'll let him go, but he wants to do so much more in our lives. And just like the children of Israel, I think some of us today might be limiting what God wants to do in our lives. And so, again, as I heard that scripture and he began to tell his story about how God had dealt with him based on this, and how he began to expand his vision and began to expand the way he believed and trusted God, it really ministered to me and began to help me. And so what I began to do a few months ago is, you know, just begin to daydream. Anybody here daydream a little bit? Okay, I encourage you, start daydreaming. All right, not on your job while you're supposed to be getting paid to work. I'm not saying that. I don't want you to get fired, and then we got to pray for you to get another job. But take some time every day, whether it's in the morning, maybe in the car, whatever you need to do, and just daydream a little bit. And here's what I want you to do. Take the limits off of God. Begin to say things to yourself like this. If money was no object, what would I let God do in my life? What would I let God, because how many of you know money happens to be a lot of times the thing that limits us in what we're able to do. And how many of you know money doesn't limit God at all? Matter of fact, he doesn't have any. Did you know that? Money's here, all right? But that's a whole nother message. So what I want to encourage you to do, begin to dream a little bit and begin to see some things that God wants to do in your life. Because when you can't see what God wants to do in your life, here's what Proverbs 29 verse 18 says in the Message Bible. It says, if people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. And so when we don't have a clear vision for our lives and a clear expectation of what God wants to do in our lives, we kind of stumble all over ourselves. We're just trying to figure it out. And what happens is we begin to get what's known as tunnel vision, and our vision begins to get narrower and narrower, and all we see is what's maybe just right in front of us, and that's as far as we go. And what God is wanting us to do is to get a greater vision in our lives so that we can begin to dream and see what God is wanting to do. We're going to see this verse again, and I'm going to show you the latter half of it later on in the message. But I want to give you some things, and if you're taking notes on the message notes there, I want to just answer the question, what limits God in our lives? Many of you have heard me tell the story about how, I spent a couple of summers when I was a teenager down in Central Florida on my grandparents' farm, and it back then was way out in the country. And if you grew up or know anything about Florida, and I've told this before, but there's some creatures down there that we don't necessarily have up here. There's rattlesnakes, cottonmouths, there's copperheads, and I'm not even going to get into the alligators and all that kind of stuff. But I learned as a teenager and they taught me this. They said, now when you're walking around, and they had, 100 or more acres, they said, when you're walking around on the farm, learn to look just right in front of you. Stare at the ground and walk right in front of you, or stare where you're walking right in front of you, so you don't step on a snake. And, so I learned a long time ago, and I always look, if you're ever around me, you'll notice that I look down when I walk, and it's just a habit that I picked up then. And what's funny is, over the last couple of years, when I've gone down to Florida to visit my grandmother, I find myself doing it again. Now, you kind of get relaxed to it around here, but, down there, you have to, because you'll walk up on something you don't want to walk up on, and you don't want to step on something you don't want to step on. And so you learn to do that. And here's what I want you to see is that a lot of us have built that habit into our lives, period, to where all we do is we walk and we look at what's right in front of us. And what God is wanting us to do is to begin to lift our heads and begin to look farther out, begin to look at what he's wanting to do. But here's three things that will begin to limit God in your life. Here's the first one. What will limit God is a wrong view of your life, a wrong view of life. See, if your perception of life is very limited, that's the way your life is going to be, is very limited. And God is wanting us to see greater things. He's wanting us to see further than what we're looking at this point. And what happens is when you get that tunnel vision and your vision becomes more and more focused and narrow in the way that it shouldn't be, you begin to picture your life being lived out that way, and that's all there is to it, and that becomes your reality. And so as you walk out that reality, that's what you're experiencing in life. And so what I want to encourage you to do is begin to lift up your head and begin to see something bigger, begin to see something broader than just a few steps ahead of you. Let's look at a scripture from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. It says this from the New Living. It says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Not just right here, but what lies before you. Mark out a straight path, Solomon said, for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Now, I want to just mention this, and I'm finding this coming up a lot lately. You need to understand something. Satan has a few weapons, not many, but a few. But one of the biggest ones that he can use in your life is a weapon of mass distraction. I'm seeing people get so distracted with stuff that it might be even good stuff, but it's not necessarily God stuff. And we're beginning to, we're kind of like, anybody ever seen the movie Up? You remember the dog in the movie Up? Squirrel. You know, where everything, you're just, you know, we're like that all the time. And what you need to understand is that the enemy wants to keep you distracted where you're not focused on what God is trying to bring you to. So you need to do like Solomon said, keep your eyes, fix your eyes on what's before you, on what God has before you. The next thing that will limit God in your life is a wrong view of yourself. A wrong view of yourself. I want to ask you a question. How do you see yourself today? How do you perceive yourself? Because if you are a follower of Christ in here, you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want you to understand, and I know this might be hard to wrap your brain around, but you have so much untapped potential on the inside of you that Jesus put down in there when you received Him, and He has just deposited everything that you need. And so what we need to understand is that the way we see ourselves is tying the hands of God. In other words, if you see yourself as a loser, if you see yourself as only barely making it, and listen, a lot of this stuff is shaped by what we've heard all of our lives. Listen, don't let anybody write your book for you. Let God write your book. Amen. All right. All of us sitting in this room today, if you have air in your lungs, you've got chapters that have not yet been written. But don't let what words that have been spoken of you, negative words that have been spoken over you by other people, don't let that shape how you see yourself. No, like I said earlier, you're a child of God. You're a child of the Creator of the universe. He's deposited greatness down on the inside of you. You need to get down, realize what's on the inside of you that greater. I started to say you need to get down. You need to realize greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And we need to change how we see ourselves. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. I love this out of the New Living. It says this, we are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. The King James says workmanship, but you are God's masterpiece. Listen, you are a priceless work of art that has no value because it's so valuable. In other words, God looks at you and there's nobody else like you, nobody gifted like you are, nobody wired like you are. And what you need to understand is that you are a valuable, rare piece of artwork that God Himself created and said He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Look at this. So we can go do the good things that He planned for us long ago. God's got an, I know we hear it and it's kind of becoming cliché, but God's got a plan for your life that is beyond your wildest imagination. It's so good and so great, and we need to get that down on the inside of us. The third thing that can limit God is a wrong view of God. A wrong view of God. How do you see God today? Do you see Him as a grumpy old man that sits on a throne with a baseball bat waiting on you to mess up? I can tell you right now, that's not the right image of God. God is a loving Heavenly Father who cares for you. He loves you so much. He sent His Son to die for you. And He is, as we said earlier, He is for you, not against you. He's on your side. And here's the other thing that you need to understand is that anything that you might be facing in your life, nothing is greater than your God. Nothing. No diagnosis from the doctor, no financial need, no crisis that might be happening in your family. Everything that you might be facing in life, your God is greater. Turn to somebody and say, God is greater. God is greater. Now turn to your second choice and say it with a little bit more oomph to it. Say, my God is greater. Now here's a scripture. Let me look at Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Jeremiah said this, ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Some of us need to get that down on the inside of us. So those things are what can limit God being able to move in our lives, can limit the vision for your life. But I want to just encourage you. I want to show you some things that you can do that will help you get a God vision. I want to show you what does a God vision look like. So we read the first half of this verse earlier, but let's look at Proverbs 29:18 again. It says this, if people can't see what God is doing, they'll stumble all over themselves. But when they attend, when they give attention, when they focus their attention on what he reveals. When you set your focus on the vision that God has given you, look at this, they are most blessed. So God gives us a vision for our lives, and when we focus our attention on that vision of what he's carried out for us or what he wants us to carry out, the Bible says that we are most blessed in those things. So somebody might say, well, what does a God vision look like? How do I know if it's a God vision? Here's the first thing you need to understand about a God vision. A God vision will seem risky. A God vision will seem risky. I didn't say crazy, foolish, I said risky. Meaning, there might be some risk that's involved in it. In other words, you know, sometimes God might ask you to take a step and you don't know what the next step is and you don't know your way back from the step you just took. And God might get you to step out there a little bit. But how many of you know that's only because he wants you to step out in faith, believing him? See, God wants to bring us to a place where we're trusting him every single day. And so sometimes we're going to have to do some things that might seem a little risky. Now, you know, that's hard for me because I'm a planner. I like to be safe. I try to use wisdom. I like to have a plan B. You know, I'm just like the rest of you, okay? I like to know, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Just show me what's going to happen 15 miles down the road, all right? I need to know these things, Jesus. And he's saying, no, you don't. Just take a step. And sometimes when you're a planner, that can kind of, you know, backfire on you a little bit because you want to know what's coming up. And a lot of times God's not going to tell you what's coming up. You just have to take that step. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. You got to believe that God is. But here's the second part. And there's nothing wrong with this. I think religion has taught us there's something wrong with thinking this way. God says it's okay. He said, you must believe that he is and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, we don't seek God for the reward, but God doesn't mind me approaching him and saying, thank you, Father. Listen, here's what I mean. Because you put God first today, I say this all the time, but because you decided to come to church today, you put God first. You sought God. So here's what you can do. God, I thank you that because I sought you today, Lord, my week's going to go better. You're going to reward me because I seek after you. I don't seek the reward, Lord, but thank you that it's coming anyway, in Jesus' name. So we need to learn that sometimes a God vision is a little risky. Here's the second thing about a God vision. A God vision will require God's involvement. Let me say this to you. If you have a vision for your life and you can accomplish it without God's help, it's not a God vision. You just have some goals. And there's nothing wrong with goals. But sometimes you got to see some things for your life and shoot for some things that if God doesn't step in, it ain't happening. You know why God does that? Because he doesn't want you to get credit for it. Not that God's needing all the credit. He just knows that when he shows up and he does something marvelous in our eyes, that he gets the credit for it. And you know what happens? It begins to draw other people to him. Because they see him moving in your life. So when you have a God vision for your life, it will always require God's involvement. Here's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible from the Amplified Version. And it says this, now to him, and it's kind of wordy, but just bear with it. Now to him who by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us. In other words, according to the same power that works in us, God is able to carry out his purpose. And here's my favorite part, and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying that when you dream and you dream a God dream, guess what? God can do even more than that. In other words, you're never going to max out God. I don't know, maybe this section didn't hear what I said. I said, you are never going to max out God in his ability. Your dream might be huge, but listen, God can always outdo it. That's what I love about God. You know what? Just about the time we think of how God's going, we know how God's going to do certain things in our lives, and we pray, and it seems like He answered it this way before. You know what? God is big enough that He can always outdo Himself. So we need to realize God can outdo Himself. So here's another thing about a God vision. A God vision will always be bigger than you, and it will change people's lives. I can tell you this beyond fear of contradiction, that if you have a vision for your life and it's only about you, it's not from God. And I say that with all due respect, but you need to understand, if it's all about you getting wealthy, if it's all about you getting famous, if it's all about you accomplishing all these things, and with God's help, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want you to understand, if it's all about you, then it's not a God vision. Because God is always going to have a hand in it, and it's always going to be bigger than just you and me. So God calls us to be a part of things that are always bigger than us so that people's lives can be changed. He loves everybody. He's wanting to impact everybody's life, and He's wanting to impact so many lives through you and through me that it's beyond what we can even think. Look at this scripture from Ephesians chapter 1. The scripture says this, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, look at this, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. God wants you to have some glorious living. Somebody said, well, my life sure is heck on earth. I didn't cuss, all right? But God wants you to have a glorious life. Now, that doesn't mean everything around you is going to be perfect all the time. But how many of you know you can have a glorious life in the middle of all kinds of crazy stuff going on in your life? He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and in everyone. So with all that in mind, this is what God has been dealing with me on over the last few months. And so I wanted to take today and the balance of our time together today, and I just want to share some things with you about the vision of our church. Now, let me just be honest with you and say this, that, you know, if there's been one of the many shortcomings, but if there has been a shortcoming of myself as a leader, it's been that I don't talk about the vision for the church enough. And part of that is because my brain tells me, I said it one time 5 years ago, you guys don't need to hear it again. All right. But how many of you know that's not true? Because what happens is we as a church, if we don't know where God's taken us, we're like the first part of Proverbs 20:19, we're going to be stumbling all over ourselves. So we want to lay out, and we're going to do this at least a couple of times a year, lay out some clear vision for you on what God wants to do. First thing I want to just share with you is that we have recently updated our mission statement. Anybody been to the website lately? Thank you for those three people that have visited the website. If you have not, please go and check out our website. I want you with confidence to be able to, if somebody asks you, hey, can you tell me a little bit about your church? You can say, hey, man, everything is on the web. Go check it out. You can find directions. You can get resources there. You can get messages there, all that kind of stuff. But we have updated it. And listen, one of the things we recently did is we updated our mission statement. It used to say that our mission statement, we were existing to reach people far from God and bring them to a life-changing relationship. Well, we've updated that a little bit because I believe God has called us to reach a broader group than just people that are far from God. Because how many of you know some people far from God don't know they're far from God, and so they wouldn't identify with that. So here's what we did. We changed our mission statement to say this. We exist to reach real, everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing truths of His Word. And so that's what I believe that we as a church are called to do. We're called to reach everyday people, you know, people from every demographic, all, you know, areas of life, all of that, with God's grace, His unconditional love, and with the life-changing truths of His Word. And so that's what we exist for. That's what we're all about. So just wanted to update you on that. Let's talk about 27 a little bit. I just want to highlight a couple of things that we accomplished in 2017 that are worth noting again. First thing we want to talk about is our End of Summer Festival. That was absolutely awesome. It was an answer to prayer. I want to thank, again, all the Dream Teamers that had a part in that. And let me just show you some things that we were were able to accomplish. During that one event, Saturday, August the 19th, we ministered to a little over 300 people. We fed people absolutely free. We invited them. They came. And by the way, our means of advertising was word of mouth and Facebook. We didn't publish it any other way except on Facebook. And that was the response we got right out here. You know, I wish that there was a way, and we're trying to look at this, that it won't be 900 degrees when we're trying to do it again next year. Because it was hot that day. Anybody remember that? All right. Or are y'all just trying to erase that from your mind? All right, but it was warm, but we had a great time. Here's the second thing. We distributed over 216 book bags full of school supplies to children that day and also through a couple of other outreaches afterwards. So we did that day. And here's the biggest thing that it helped us do. It helped us to learn that we can do that. It helped us to learn that we are able to do an outreach event like that and really kind of get out of our comfort zone a little bit and expand and do some things differently. So we're very proud of that. Again, I want to thank everybody that had a part in that. We planned, we budgeted, you know, we spent about $6,000 doing that, and it was absolutely awesome. We didn't have to sweat for that. It was, you know, we had it, so we did it. And thank you for that. Again, this is what your generosity helps us to do. Here's some ministries that we support and supported in 2017. The first one is the Charlotte Rescue Mission. If you're familiar with the Charlotte Rescue Mission, they are a recovery ministry for recovering addicts. And so they have a ministry to men called Rebound, which is downtown. And then they have a ministry to women called Dove's Nest, which is over off West Boulevard. We support the Charlotte Rescue Mission and help them do what they do. I want to tell you a little quick story. How many of you remember or acknowledge if you come to prayer on Saturday mornings, we've been praying for a young lady named Charlotte. Yes. All right. We've prayed for her for almost 2 years. When we first started praying for Charlotte, Charlotte was on the streets, homeless, a heroin addict. Had been in and out of jail, just having a real hard time. Her family are friends of our ministry. And so we began praying for Charlotte and just declaring the word of God over her, calling her, fulfilling the will, God's will, plan, and purpose for her life. Well, let me give you the short version of it. She graduated last week as a graduate from Dove's Nest. She's been clean for over 6 months. She is a beautiful young lady. And one of these days soon, I'm trying to get her to come. I want her to tell her story. She also sings absolutely beautiful. So I'm going to get her to sing, but I want her to share her story with you. Here's what I believe. Thank God for the ministry of Dove's Nest, but thank God that we began praying for her and we began praying that God would do some awesome things in her life. And He is. She's on fire for Jesus. She loves Jesus and she's free. If you want to continue to pray for Charlotte, she's going to be transitioning now and she needs to find a job and all of that. So God's not through with her yet. He's going to keep showing Himself strong on her behalf. So I'm very excited about that. Here's another ministry that we support, and that is a ministry called Freedom Within Walls. And this is a ministry that's run by our friends James and Tara Scott, who pastor the Exchange Church right up off Presley Road, not far from here. But they have a feeding program that they do where they feed students. He educated me. I had no idea the number of kids that go to school every day hungry, that they don't have anything to eat at home and they're dependent on the school to provide at least breakfast and lunch for them. And many of them go home and don't get anything else to eat until the next day. I know how ornery I get if I don't get much to eat. Come on now. So James and Tara have this feeding program and they feed a whole bunch of kids in the South Carolina area in Greenville, Spartanburg. And then they have a huge outreach here in Charlotte. Because of your generosity, through a 10-week period this summer, we provided enough money that we provided 650 meals to kids who otherwise would have not gotten any food. So that's what we did as a church. And so I'm very proud of that. So we're continuing to support them. I'm going to have James come and preach to you, sometime in the near future. They are awesome, awesome people. And I absolutely love them with all my heart. They're great people. And here's another ministry that we support. And that is we have church planters that we support who have a church that they have planted in Scotland. And these are great friends of our ministry. This is the son and daughter-in-law of our CPA, Mr. John Franklin. So here's one of the reasons. First of all, the Lord led us to begin to sponsor Esther and Michael. But one of the reasons is that where money is concerned, I trust John, his dad, beyond, I mean, just unequivocally. And so I knew that the money we gave to this ministry is going to be used in the right and dignified way. And there's many ministries that it would, don't misunderstand me. But I felt very comfortable giving to this couple and helping them with their church in Scotland. And they were here recently, told me some stories, and I'll share that with you later on about what it's like to minister in Europe. It's very, very difficult. Much more difficult. You think the United States is becoming more and more secular. Europe is about 15 years ahead of us. Where they're so, listen, they were sharing with me that there are people, young people in their 20s and 30s who don't even know what church is. Never been in their lives, never experienced it. And so when you try and relate to them about church, they don't have a clue of what you're talking about. Nothing, no point of reference whatsoever. So that's hard for us to wrap our brain around. But I wanted you to know we support these ministries. We're going to continue to grow our support for them, and we're going to begin to do more and more for them, and we'll be sharing more about that in the days to come. But I did want you to know this. Let me give you a couple of things that we're going to do in the future here in 2018. Many of you might have noticed we rearranged the seats in this room, and here's why, okay? I know it's been a little tricky because some of you, you know, don't like to climb over other people to get to your seat and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you why Pastor set up the chairs the way that he did. Because I'm believing God for this room to be filled with 200 people. There are exactly 200 chairs in this room. And so all I'm looking for, just indulge me for just a little bit, for a little while. All I'm looking for is a little agreement for you to pray with us and begin to thank God for 200 people to fill this room. Because here's what's going to happen when we fill this room with 200 people. We're going to have another service, all right? Now, here's why. Somebody said, well, you're just focused on numbers. You're absolutely right. I'm focused on numbers. Because numbers matter to God. Let me show you a little quick reference. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter got up and preached his message, the Bible says 3,000 souls came to Christ at the result of that one message. I want to ask you a question. How do they know it was 3,000 people? Guess why? Somebody counted. Now here's why that's important. Every number has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God. That's why numbers are important to God and they're important to us. So when we we're believing God to fill this room with 200 people. Now, here's what's going to happen. When you get 200 adults in here, that's probably going to have Shirley dealing with about 40 kids back there. So here's what's going to have to happen as a result of that. We're going to have to go definitely to a second service. And then what we'll do is we'll believe God to fill the room again. I said, we're going to believe God to fill the room again. Come on now. I said, we're going to fill this room again with people who need life change. So that's what we're going to do. Here's some other things that we're going to do. We're going to do some upgrades this year in 2018 for our children's ministry. They have been working in rooms that we did what we needed to do to be able to get into this facility 2 years ago. But it's time to upgrade. It's time to do some things like painting and decorating. We need to buy them some new furniture. By the way, for those of you who didn't know, when we initially got this place, that big classroom that they meet in had not one electrical outlet in it. Not one. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So we've paid right around $2,000 to have electricity put in that room and then also to update the lights for their big playroom in the back so it's bright back there and we don't have to wait 15 minutes for those bulbs to warm up and all that kind of stuff because it was like the old school gymnasium lights. So we upgraded all that stuff, but we're going to be doing more. We're going to get some new furniture for them. Now, when we had outlets put in there, we had an outlet put in because we want to buy them a humongous flat screen television to put on the wall in there so they can watch their movies and their videos and do all that kind of stuff and have a great time. Then the other thing we're going to do is we're going to upgrade the warehouse room in the back. We're going to paint it. We're going to get it squared away where it's a little more attractive and just be a great area for the kids. I'm also in the mood to buy them some, and I know some people, some adults that will like this, but we're going to buy a couple of PlayStations. Yeah, I see. I told you. so the kids can have some games. We're just going to really make that a fun place. Here's something else we're going to do in 2018. We're going to pay off our debt. This is our debt. This is all the debt the Spring Hill Church has, and this is what's left from us upfitting our building. And it started out at $64,000, so we paid all that bill off. The bill is paid. The contractor is fully satisfied, but this is what we have left to pay that debt off. I believe we can do that in 2018. Does anybody here believe we can do that? All right, so we're going to do that this year. Here's something else we're going to do in 2018. We're going to begin webcasting and video of our services and start an online campus. We're going to start an online campus. So when you don't feel like coming to church, I want you to come anyway. I know how to, like a day like today when it's kind of cloudy outside, you just want to roll over when that alarm goes off. I know I do too. But if there, for some reason, you can't come or you're out of town or whatever, we want to stream our service so that people can have it, they can watch it. Because as I've told you before, and this is absolutely mind-blowing to me, our audio podcast, the messages that we put online, we have people in Russia, China, Germany, England, of course, many states in the United States, South America, it's mind-blowing to me that people all over the world, China, are listening to our messages. Little old Spring Hill Church, they're listening to our messages. So I'm wanting to give them something to look at while they listen into the messages. All right, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to begin to webcast our services. Now, another thing that we're going to do is we're going to strengthen our group ministries. We're really going to work hard to build our men's ministry, our marriage ministry, our women's ministry. We're going to grow the student ministry and, again, upgrade to the kids' ministries. Here's something else we're going to do. We're going to expand our community outreach. You know, hey, listen, if we can do one event where we are successful, I believe we can expand it, maybe do two events in 1 year. How about it? Yes. Anybody think we can do that? I believe we can. I believe if we'll take the limits off of God, God will honor what we're doing. All right. Now, long-term vision. Here's some things that we're going to begin to shoot for long-term. We're going to need some more space for our children's ministry and our students' ministry. I want to have a space that's dedicated for our students, not the children, students, teenagers. And because we have some stuff over in storage that I'm tired of being in storage. We have 2 foosball tables, an air hockey table. We've got all kinds of toys and gadgets for students that's sitting over in storage, and I'm tired of it sitting in storage. I want some space to bring it out so our kids can play with it. And we can have fun, and we can have a space that our students will want to come. Now, here's the thing. I'm not working you up for an offering. Don't worry. All right. Don't get nervous. All right. I'm wanting you to begin to pray over this stuff. Begin to believe God with me. Here's something else we're going to do long term. We're going to build and have some additional campuses. Okay? Now, we're going to start with an online campus, but we're going to have additional campuses of Spring Hill Church. I believe there's some areas that God wants us to go into. I'm already praying over those areas. And here's something you need to understand. And I don't say this as any kind of shade whatsoever, but I believe God's going to direct us to go into some areas where it's not sexy to go. You know what I'm saying? There's some areas of Charlotte that are being vastly unreached because, you want me to be honest with you, because there's not a whole lot of money there. Okay? And so I believe God will lead us into those areas. He'll show us how to do ministry in those areas and help people. And, go into some areas where there's not a whole lot going on in. It's hard to believe, but there are areas of Charlotte that is the truth, that there isn't a whole lot going on in. So we're going to expand into those areas. We're going to go into some of the surrounding communities and do some things that God wants us to do. And so what I wanted to do is just take a moment, share these things with you, so you can begin to pray, begin to ask God, begin to thank God. By the way, all of this stuff is listed on our website, so you can on this particular message page. So go and look under sermons and you can find this. Here's one last thing that I want to give you a homework assignment to do. All right, will you do it? Yes. Thank you for those 6 that will do it. Okay. On today's message page, I put a link on there. Our leaders have already seen this. How many of you love Bishop T.D. Jakes? Okay. He was just in town less than a month ago and did an interview with Pastor Stephen Furtick at Elevation where he was talking about his new book, Soar. Okay. I want to encourage everybody in this room to go and to watch that interview. It's on YouTube, and I have the link on the page so you can go and watch it. I promise you, it will change your life. I watched it. I watched it live that night, and I was speechless. First of all, I don't understand a mind like his. I mean, I can't wrap my brain around. He's a genius to me, talking about Bishop Jakes. But, I mean, just the wisdom and the knowledge and the insight and revelation that he has. And here's what I believe it will do. It will cause you, for your life personally, to be able to see some things that God is wanting to do in your life that you're not seeing right now. I promise you. So do that. Do that homework assignment, and I believe it'll have a great impact on you. Amen? Amen? Will you do me a favor? Will you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for what we've heard today. Lord, thank you for the revelation that you've given us. And Father, we're going to do our best to fulfill the vision that you've given us. Father, we're going to be good stewards of that vision. We're going to continue to pray over it. Father, we know that it's just the beginning and that you're going to grow and you're going to expand it. You're going to cause it to become greater in us than ever before. And so, Father, I thank you for these wonderful people that call Spring Hill home. Father, I thank you for helping them with their own vision, with what you've called them to do in their lives, Father. As we've said, Lord, I believe every single person under the sound of my voice is called to greatness. And so, Father, help them to expand and grow the vision that they have and that you've given them for their lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for what you've called us to do. Father, thank you right now, ahead of time and by faith, Father, we believe that where you give vision, you give provision. And so, Lord, we thank you that every need that we have, human resource, financial resource, space, whatever it might be, Father, thank you that you've already met the need, that it is done in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. We give you praise for it, Father, and we give you all the glory for it ahead of time. Now, if someone is here under the sound of my voice with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know where you stand in your relationship with Christ, I never take for granted in a service that everybody is exactly where they need to be. I want to pray with you today. Would you just do me a favor with your head bowed there? Would you just pray this prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Give me a brand new start. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for a new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.